What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texas, and I was calling to say two things. First, I have been a member of the haunt community for a long time, and we kind of collectively hate McCammy Manor for lots of reasons that John said. So I wanted to thank you, John, for pointing that out about how horrible this guy is and what a bad light he puts on the haunt community. Art of the Scare is, I believe, the documentary you were talking about from Netflix. And it does kind of paint him in this obscure, ambiguous light on how they feel about it. So I really am hoping that this next documentary talks more about how horrible this guy really is. And he absolutely could not withstand the things that he puts people through because he's terribly afraid of snails. And whereas I'm not going to shit on anybody's fears, that's a little, I think it's a power move on his part, everything that he's doing. The second thing I wanted to call about is that I wanted to tell you my scary movie story from when I was a kid. So I got into horror really young. My dad used to watch sci-fi very late, back when they only played horror late at night, and I had problems sleeping. And so I would kind of creep out into the living room and watch horror movies with him. And I distinctly remember seeing The Fly. I have no idea how old I was, probably like 6 or 7. And that movie destroyed me. My mom didn't like me watching horror movies that young because she was worried I'd have nightmares. And I had many, many nightmares about it. To this day, over 20 years later, I refused to watch that movie because the body horror in it just really wigged me out at however young age I was. And I never told my father that it scared me so bad. And I'm pretty sure it's still one of his favorite movies. Anyway, thanks so much for everything you do. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Hannah. Yeah, and I do really appreciate you taking the time to call in and kind of reinforce that I wasn't completely... I didn't mean to represent the haunt community either. I was kind of relaying information that I had known because I'm not an extreme haunt guy by any means. So I am glad to hear that I at least got out there the right way. I also don't mean to shame anyone who does want to do that sort of thing. Like, that, it's fine. It's just... with this documentary, you do hope that it shows like, hey, this guy exists and this is what this is. It's not like fun. It's brutal and people should know what they're getting in for, even if they think they know. I don't know that they do. So Yeah. So best of luck. And it might be, I don't know if I'm going to watch the documentary. It might be too much for me to know people like him are still doing what they're doing. But beyond that, I appreciate you sharing the baggage that you still carry for horror movies. It sounds awesome. I love stuff like that. Like, you could only watch it late at night and your dad like let you watch it, or your mom let you watch it, but the other parent didn't like let you do that. Like, do either of you have those? Are there any movies that you two watched when you were really young that you still almost feel that nostalgic fear watching again?
For me, Ticks come to mind. Anything to doing like with bugs, which we previously had a conversation about it. Like, as a kid, I hated watching it, but I also kind of loved it, you know, just because it was kind of like a creature feature type of thing, you know. So whenever I watch it now, it just honestly takes me right back to my childhood. And the same thing with, you know, Night of the Demons, because I previously told you guys about that one, as well as the second one.
Yeah, and spiders. Maybe Ticks led to spiders. Anything with a lot of legs.
Arachnophobia. Oh my god, that movie destroyed me as well, Hannah. Because I know she was talking about movies that destroyed her.
When the subtitles are on and the word skittering appears, you know that you don't want to hear what's happening.
No.
How about you, Megan?
I have memories of movies that terrified me when I was a kid, but now they don't anymore.
Like not even like, it's more like, yeah, I remember that this scared me, but why did that scare me sort of thing?
Well, kind of. I mean, like, I've talked about the Zuni doll from Trilogy of Terror that I don't think would scare me anymore. Pet Sematary was traumatic for a few reasons, which, like, it makes sense, but I've seen him, you know, since childhood, so the fear element wears off. So, like, things like that.
And me, I largely still get scared during most horror movies that I watch, but, you know, it is what it is. Call two.
Hey, Dev Trio. This is Regina, originally from the Twin Cities. I wanted to ask, what are some of your favorite horror movies based in the past? For instance, some of my favorites are The Awakening, The Woman in Black, and Ginger Snaps Back, The Beginning. Can't wait to hear your recommendations. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Regina. Great question. And I have a couple that I can assume are going to appear from both Megan or Zena, but I want to hear from Megan and Zena. Let's start with Megan. What's some of your favorite, like, historical or period piece horror?
I mean, the stuff that you're going to say, so I don't want to say it because you're going to want to say it. If I say it, you won't have anything to say.
No, I've actually been a lot better about answering questions lately, so I don't feel bad suddenly not or running out of ones. I can think of like three or four, and maybe I'll run out. I don't know.
So does that mean I should just do one?
Two. Name two.
Okay. So Ravenous is often a go-to, and pretty much like a good chunk of Guillermo del Toro stuff, like Crimson Peak and Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth. Like, all of those are period pieces that are so good.
Yeah. How
and
about
today's
you,
his birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. I mean, it's after the fact now. But happy belated birthday. If you're listening to this, Guillermo, we love you.
We love you. So just two, I'm going to say Black Sunday. I really love that one. And I want to say I'll wait because I feel like John, you're gonna say this other one. So I guess I'll just go with Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fear Street. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Actually, a new one popped into my head that I wasn't even necessarily thinking, and I will say Overlord.
Yay!
If that counts, I mean, World War II. We can go back a little further.
Yeah,
if we want to go back a little further, I'm going to say one that I assumed Megan would have picked with her third or fourth pick and say Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yep, that's I pivoted away from that one.
I'll name one more. We can each name one more. I'll name one more that I don't know that either of you will say, but maybe Shadow of a Vampire. With Willem Dafoe is just so fantastic in it.
Yeah, he is.
True story.
One more for you, Megan.
I'm going to go with an under-discussed one, and that's Sauna.
Sauna, that one is also the Swedish one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even... Wait, when was that one set?
I haven't seen it.
That is set, like, I don't know when it's said, but it's clearly period. Let's see. I'm going to Google that. It is, it's Finland, actually.
Mm.
Cosmic horror came out in 2008. It is definitely not set in 2008. It is the end of the Russo-Swedish War from 1590 to 1595.
Oh, jeez. Boy, I was off.
Yeah.
Evidently, that's what I think modern... Sweden is just always like, or Finland's like. Okay.
It looks pretty cool.
I mean, it is very pretty. It's very, very gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's very, very, it's not a hand holder, that's for sure. Very nice. Cosmic horror-ish, but yeah.
How about you, Zena? One more for you.
I'm going to go with Gothic. Takes place around the 1817.
Nice. And just in case there's someone yelling at their car stereo or headphones or something right now, I'll also say The Witch. Because
yeah, I thought you were going to say that.
The Witch, yeah. No, that was definitely one of them. Oh, and I was also... No, I'm not going to keep doing this because then I'm just ruining the game. I'm just making up new rules as I go on. Speaking of me making up the rules as I go along, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to just discuss the disgusting, you know her as the movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from a YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, and her infinite love for the genre, and head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hey, guys.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to cook around the table for the movies, books, games, or nothing else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile, too. I'm going to start.
Let's go, then. Okay.
I'm going to start because I wasn't sure either of you were going to talk about it. I'm going to start with it. It's not even what you guys told me to watch. It's what you knew I had to watch. VHS 85.
Yeah.
Unveiled through a made-for-TV documentary, five tales of found footage horror emerge to take viewers on a terrifying journey into the grim underbelly of the 1980s. This just came out on Shudder. It is the new one. I could not be happier. Not just because I love this anthology series and really what it's become, both for a viewer and a fan, but also a creator of horror. Like, I can't think of anything else really in cinema that has kind of turned into this sort of a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that you get, like, when it first started, there were names, but it wasn't necessarily the names that we know them to be now. And now we're getting horror. Like filmmakers where it's like, we got Scott Derrickson to do this? Like, what? Like, that's amazing. And the fact that, because it's like this flight of fancy fun, like, do something crazy for 20 minutes. Go. Like, it makes me so happy. It's turned into like such a love letter to horror. And especially since none of us thought there was going to be another one after VHS Viral, that it really came back with a vengeance. And this might actually be my favorite version or my favorite one yet.
Oh wow, that's pretty big from you. Yeah.
It is. You know, I really enjoyed the wraparound. I think I enjoyed the wraparound for this one as much as I did for the first one, and I think the first one has probably been my favorite one. But all the, you know, all the segments, which I'm not going to get into because it's so new, I want people to go watch it. I'm not going to like dive into them. I just, the filmmakers really, it felt to me like they were kind of going crazy in this one. Like, let's go big. Let's just go for it. And it worked on a lot of levels. I loved the cinematography of that VHS style. Like, I know that I wouldn't want to watch every single movie with that old tracking lines and things like that. But for me, it hits that nostalgia so sweet. I mean, they even had actual commercials from back then. I remember the two beer glasses like crashing together in the drunk driving ad. I remember watching that growing up. And yeah, it just, this one made me happy. I've watched it 1¾ time. I didn't have time to finish it the second time today.
But you're on it.
I'm on it. I was at Scott Derrickson's. I was about halfway through his, which is technically second from the end, I suppose. I dig this. I can't wait to see where they go next. It's just fun. And I like the idea that the filmmakers are having fun doing it and they want to do this. And there might have been filmmakers who wanted to be involved in this one where they're like, we don't have room. Can you do the next one? Like, is my hope.
I believe
least.
It. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a blast. Yeah. I also watched Xena's pick, 1986's Vamp on Tubi. Two fraternity pledges travel to a sleazy bar in search of a stripper for their college friends, unaware it is occupied by vampires. Which sums it up pretty well. Why this one, Xena?
Because it's fun and Grace Jones is in it.
This felt like such an 80s horror movie. And I want to let me specify that more. As a kid who grew up watching movies like Weekend at Bernie's and Mannequin, this is the horror version of Weekend at Bernie's and Mannequin. Like, it's there, you know, it's vampires, so there's blood and there's some scares and there kind of some scares and some intensity and stuff, but it's goofy, it's schlocky, it's got
16 Candles.
Yeah, it was 16, the guy from 16 Candles, okay. Getty Watanabe. Just being so ridiculous, over the top, goofy, and then like kind of the bro. I mean, at first I was so there, I was really confused by the gang that I thought was vampires, but evidently they weren't. And then all of a sudden, like this little, the koala version of a vampire jumped out and grabs onto this guy's arm. And I was just, it was silly and fun. And I 100% understand how this would be a massive comfort watch for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's just a fun, silly vampire movie, like neon and bright lights. It is not a dark vampire movie by any means. And I'm not sure. Does Grace Jones speak?
No.
I don't know if she
screams.
She screams.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if she had any lines at the very end, but no. She just
screams.
She has such a like screen presence that you don't even think about it.
I really want her to do more horror movies. I just love her. I think that she's just so awesome and creepy, and especially like in this movie, she was so creepy. Like,
I know, like very inhuman, but in a way you've never seen before for vampires. Love it.
Very fun movie.
And the guy who plays AJ, I'm always used to seeing him being like the not so nice guy. He was in Weird Science. He was in
Nightmare
Sometimes
on
They
Street
Come
too.
Back. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just like, it was nice to see him in this
He's
role.
A good guy this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. He's too cool for the frat, but, you know.
Yeah.
Which actually probably makes him a good guy.
He loves his buddy. He's a good friend in horror, huh?
That's true. I did have to look up Formica. I was not entirely sure. I did not get that joke. I'm like, what the hell is Formica? Like, oh, that was an 80s thing, wasn't it?
No. What
it's a joke.
It?
At the,
Tell us.
It's a, well, it's a joke at the very end, and so I don't want to give it up.
Okay. Well, you can tell us off air.
And then I did my partner watch, or my spouse watch, or my co-watch, or whatever you want to call it, which was Megan's
date
pick.
Horror.
Yeah, 2009's The Loved Ones, which I watched on Paramount Plus. When Brent turns down his classmate Lola's invitation to prom, she concocts a wild, violent plan for revenge, which is not entirely accurate, but it's close enough. Why this one, Megan?
It's one of my absolute favorites. It's one that I recommend all the time come like Valentine's Day, because it's like...
Oh my God.
I know, because it's like, you know, horror is good for kind of corrupting things, and it's kind of a corrupt take on romance, but I think it's a little bit deeper than the violence in it gives it, well, that you would assume, like, it's a violent horror movie, but it's got a lot of emotions, and the way it deals with grief is kind of affecting for me, but it's also really good performances, so it's a favorite, and I have no idea how it went over on your date night, but I would recommend it for date night.
Oh,
I did.
Seems kind of romantic to me.
Right?
Oh, interesting. Huh. You know what? We've been doing this for 3 years, and I'm still learning stuff about you.
I mean, it's not romantic from Lola, but it is romantic for, you know, his actual date.
I suppose. Yeah, sure. So at one point, we were watching it, and my wife goes, "Do you notice me just like staring at you during this?"
Is it because, too much for her?
Kind of. But it was because there's certain points in the torture that are prolonged. One in particular that I'm not going to go into detail about. Spoil, if you haven't seen it and you want to watch it. We'll say when something is being expanded, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
That goes on a long time. It feels so long that we were both sitting there like, oh, come on. Like, just stop it. I see smoke rising. Stop it. It was a little excessive for her, just from the point of view of, like, there was, I think we were about an hour in or something. She's like, there's got to be something redeeming coming here. Like, we need something, because it was brutal and sad and, like, oh, my God. And we could not figure out what the subplot happening in parallel was. We're like, what is going on with these two? Like, his friend?
The sister is related to...
Well, yeah, I don't want to give anything away. But we couldn't figure it out. Like, it took us till the very end. We're like, why are they showing us this prom date that's going really weird? What's that have to do with anything? Like, we just didn't get it, and we just didn't see that connection till the very end. Which maybe they establish it earlier, and...
They do.
Oh, we just clearly weren't noticing. Until the very end, when they're, anyway, they tie it together for us. It was a bit much. We did laugh at the very end, like in that very last like moment.
Oh,
like there was a laugh. Yeah, I think it pushed it a little bit. Like it's just like, you know, there was a lot of blood. It was super brutal. And not just that, but we'll say the relationship that's awkward within it, not her favorite subject. So it was kind of like that too, where it's like, oh God, you're adding cringe on cringe with us, aren't you? So she didn't dislike it, but I asked her, would you watch it again? And she goes, no. I said, you know what? That's fine. Cause I said this, I say the same thing too. And she did ask, do Megan and Xena assign you stuff like this? Like a lot? I'm like, sometimes. Do you like all the stuff they assign you? I'm like,
no.
I can find redeeming qualities in it. I can find redeeming qualities in this for all the reasons that Megan said. But a Valentine's Day watch? Of course, you did go on a date to The Hills Have Eyes. So, you know.
You know what I think is so weird, too, like with this movie? I like Megan. I do. I love it. I think that it's the bee's knees. But with Lola, like when you first see her, I thought that she was so cute. Like, and I just, you know, but clearly, no spoilers, you know. The guy was going through some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I
just assumed that's what it was. But yeah, clearly she...
We don't get a whole lot of female killers. And I was very excited that we have one and she's not afraid to go there.
She is not afraid. She is intense.
Yeah. So,
Well, and was the one character that we won't delve into if you haven't seen it, so no spoilers. Was it Bright Eyes or Starry Eyes?
Bright.
They called her Bright Eyes. I was like, okay. It's like, well, this all is okay because I got assigned Starry Eyes once, hon, and we could watch that, and you might think that this one's okay. Compared
you know
to
how that was funny, too? So was she treating Starry Eyes like that with a piece of chicken? You remember that scene with the chicken?
Yes.
She was eating chicken and...
the posturing, the weird power moves that were going on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching, like, Sissy or something, where I'm like, this is uncomfortable. But the performances, to Megan's point, are like, yeah, I've never seen this before. Like, I want to see what the audition process for this was. Like, did she blow everyone out of the water, or was this just what was in the script? Like, I'd be curious. Anyway, it was a big one, but we made it. And thank you. Now I've seen The Loved Ones.
Awesome.
I'm totally going to turn this on Valentine's Day just to mess with her because she knows I don't like Valentine's Day. How about you, Megan?
It's Halloween month, so I busted out my Blu-ray of Ghost Watch that finally released. Yeah. That was a 1992 movie that they aired on BBC, and people thought it was real, understandably, because it's the camera crew sent to investigate one of the most haunted houses in Britain. And Yeah, it's basically the Enfield Poltergeist story that plays out like War of the World style. And it's really good. If you like found footage-y type stuff, I feel like it's essential, especially because it's like the Halloween hoax of the century. And there's so many details like in the background, like, you know, Mr. Pipes lurking about that makes it rewarding on rewatches. So, yeah, I watched that one. And then I was looking for something yesterday that was like, I guess, kind of quick. And so I started, I didn't finish, but Crazy Fun Park, it's just landed on Hulu. And this one is when his best friend, I don't know how to pronounce it, even though I watched it, Mapplethorpe. Yeah, he dies suddenly in an abandoned park, and Chester discovers that his friend now lives with the other children in this abandoned theme park, leading them to reestablish their friendship as they go through the difficulties of adolescence. This is from Nicholas Verso, who previously did Boys in the Trees, which is hard to find. You can rent it on VOD in limited places. And it's very similar in that he uses the genre to kind of do these coming of age stories of teens grappling with death at a really young age. So it's a lot lighter than that sounds, a lot more fantasy elements than horror. Like, it's not really trying to scare you. And yeah, definitely very touching. It's like one of those wants to get you in your feels. So I haven't finished it, but so far I see so many parallels to Boys in the Trees, which is, you know, a tearjerker kind of horror movie that's set on Halloween. So if you're looking for something short and Halloween-y, go with that one. But if you want something new, go with Crazy Fun Park.
Nice.
And real quick, wasn't that Boys in Trees? That's what it's called too, right? Boys in Trees.
Boys in the Trees, yeah.
Wasn't that on Netflix at one point? I don't know.
I don't know if I ever saw it hit Netflix. If it did, it must have been like a super hot minute.
Yeah.
But this one's always been super hard to find because it's Australian.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. No, just me being nosy. But okay, yeah. So I checked out Night of the Scarecrow from 1995 on DVD. It's not streaming anywhere, but you may be able to find a copy. I just don't know how good the copy is on YouTube. So in this one, a warlock's ghost uses the body of a scarecrow to take his long-awaited revenge on a small community. So yeah, just the movie just centers around like this small town. This woman, she comes back home and then she runs into this craziness that's happening because it happens in the trailer and it happens in the beginning. So it's not a spoiler. Someone actually breaks something that lets out this spirit. And whoa, this movie is so surprising because I know like the title may sound a little bit cheesy and very 90s, but I love how inventive like the gore scenes are. And they have like clearly like a modest budget, but I feel like they really did like such a great job. There's some like cheesy dialogue, but I was definitely with it, you know, and just expect, you know, like, you know, some cheese, but the violence is like top tier. There's a lot of flannel for some reason, but I guess because people are on a farm and it's kind of a body horror. There's dark magic. You see a lot of stuff, death happening with corn. But no spoilers too. One of the coolest things I thought, because I've never seen this before, the scarecrow, he kind of implants people, and I'll just leave it at that. Like, I mean, the whole time, like, I just couldn't stop staring at it. So, but yeah. And oh, be warned too, there is a scene, you know, where there's like a warlock ritualistic orgy that's going on. It doesn't happen for too long, but it's in there. But yeah, too bad that this one, it wasn't a franchise, because I feel like it could have been. I feel like it could have been up there, like with Halloween, Friday the 13th, and A Nightmare on Elm Street, you know? And I know that's like, whoa, how can you say that? I'm saying it because that's how I see it, you know? But yeah, I think I watched this one as a kid because I remember some bits and pieces of it. But if you like scarecrow horror movies, I feel like this one is a must watch. And plus, that scarecrow, he was so brave. He was doing stuff sometimes in broad daylight. Just, he didn't care. So yeah, I feel like this is like really good. I had a really good time watching it. Then the second thing I checked out, Appendage, just came out this year on Hulu. A young fashion designer's life spirals out of control when something manifests into something gruesome, and then it doesn't stop growing. So I know this one is based on a 6-minute short, and this one is very, very straightforward. It's super engaging and very entertaining. It's full of twists and turns. And I don't know, I love the fact that the pacing was great. but it's also not predictable. It went in a completely different direction that I thought it was going to go. And I mean that in a good way. And again, this is a body horror. And I feel like if you love body horror, you know, I think that you should check this one out because I cannot stop thinking about it.
All right. Before we move on, and what did we watch and how did we watch it? I watched VHS 85 on Shudder, Vamp on Tubi, and The Loved Ones on Paramount Plus.
I watched Ghost Watch on Blu-ray and Crazy Fun Park on Hulu.
I checked out Night of the Scarecrow on DVD, but you may be able to find a copy on YouTube, and I watched Appendage on Hulu.
All right. I'm going to need one homework assignment for next week because I'm picking The Spousal Watch. And I'm going to get my wife to watch Talk to Me with me because I've been talking it up and I wouldn't mind if we talked about it more in the recent future, near future, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
So I need one. Megan, I think technically you're up for the solo.
Let Zena do it.
Okay. Sure. Do you want something from Hulu or do you want something from Amazon?
Give me your favorite.
I'm going to go with Totally Killer. It just came out and it's on Amazon.
All right.
Have a good time.
I'm sure I will. As you guys give me another torture movie to watch.
Oh,
we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
The unrated mega slasher Terrifier 2 is heading to theaters again on November 1st, and it's bringing surprises for fans. In a tweet last week, writer-director Damien Leone promised that you will be getting your money's worth if you grab yourself a ticket. Not only will you get a special intro to the film by the creator himself, but Leone tweeted, for those of you speculating that the Terrifier 3 teaser is just going to be some 20-second gimmick, because there will be a teaser, I assure you that it's a legit teaser trailer. It's over 2 minutes long, and you're going to effing love it, exclusively in theaters on November 1st. Set 1 year after its predecessor, Terrifier 2 continued the gruesome story of Art the Clown and his insatiable thirst for murder. So yeah, go see it. In addition, on opening night, the first 100 fans at each theater will receive an exclusive Terrifier 3 poster. As quantities are extremely limited, the team behind Terrifier recommends you get to the theater early. And
I love that they've been doing more of this. There's at least a theater by me that we've been to the last couple of weeks that they have the original Exorcist playing just like two nights. Oh, and cool. I think they're playing VHS 85 actually one night. Like, yeah, I kind of love this.
Interesting.
I kind of love this idea. At least this, it's an Icon show play. So maybe Icon is different that way. Or this one, because it also gets associated with local film fests. I love the idea that they're like, hey, on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or whatever a slow day is, we're going to play stuff you don't expect to like draw people in. Like, that's awesome.
Really cool.
Atomic Monster and Blumhouse are reteaming again with Universal Pictures, this time for the supernatural thriller Night Swim. It follows a family who awakens a terrifying supernatural presence in the backyard swimming pool of their new home. I don't know if this is House Part 2 or what, but it's coming to theaters on January 5th, 2024. It's based on the acclaimed 2014 short film by Rod Blackhurst and Bryce McGuire. The film stars Wyatt Russell as Ray Waller, a former Major League Baseball player forced into early retirement by a degenerative disease illness. I don't know. It doesn't specify what. Who moves into a new home with his concerned wife, Eve, played by Kerry Condon, teenage daughter, Izzy, and young son, Elliot. So secretly hoping against all odds to return to pro ball, Ray persuades Eve that the new home's shimmering backyard swimming pool will be fun for the kids and provide physical therapy for him. But a dark secret in the home's past will unleash a malevolent force that'll drag the family under. The official trailer is online now. It's not too much. It's more of a teaser. It's kind of like Marco Polo with some entity. So yeah, I'm very curious because I like aquatic horror, even swimming pool ones, I suppose. Don't know that I can think of too many. So yeah. And then to keep the new trailer train rolling, slasher classic Scream meets holiday classic It's a Wonderful Life in the upcoming It's a Wonderful Knife. The Christmas slasher comes from writer Michael Kennedy, who is behind Freaky, and the director Tyler McIntyre, who is behind Tragedy Girls. And you can check out the exclusive images of the new or the new trailer, either one, over at Bloody Disgusting, that gives a peek at the mass killer known simply as the Angel. From RLJE Films and Shudder, It's a Wonderful Knife will be released in theaters in the U.S. on November 10th, and then it'll head to Shudder at a later date. Doesn't say when. The film was originally described as a mix of Scream and It's a Wonderful Life, and that trailer definitely wears that on its sleeves. It's set in the idyllic Angel Falls. A year after saving her town from a psychotic killer on Christmas Eve, her life is less than wonderful, but when she wishes she'd never been born, she finds herself in a nightmare parallel universe. So yeah, now the killer is back and she must team up with the town misfit to identify the killer and get back to her own reality. And it stars Jane Widdup from Yellow Jackets, Joel McHale, Justin Long, who is in all the horror lately, and Catherine Isabel of Ginger Snaps.
Yay. So yeah, that sounds so great.
It might actually get me to watch holiday horror. We'll see. Cool. All right, listeners, your turn. What movie would you pay all the money for to see in movies theaters again? What game would you be willing to die playing in a swimming pool? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. And just as a reminder, anyone who emails, calls, or texts us a question during October will be entered into the drawing for the horror socks. Wow, that's the budget. Socks. We will give you socks. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So, on Thursday the 12th, we have The Goldsmith. This will be available on VOD and DVD. A trio of desperate criminals break into the isolated country house of an elderly goldsmith and his wife, but their chosen targets turn out to be far less defenseless than they ever seen. Then what we have on Friday the 13th, there's so much stuff that's coming out on Friday the 13th, so I'm just going to try to, like, keep track of it. So,
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's available too. Then we also have The Elderly. So this will be hitting limited theaters. Emmanuel starts to display violent tendencies after his wife suddenly kills herself. Soon a series of paranormal events has the local elderly population behaving oddly, paired with lust for blood. Whoa. Ooh. Then based on George A. Romero's iconic 1982 movie, Creepshow season 4 will be available on Shudder. So there'll be 6 episodes available on Shudder and AMC Plus, and then new episodes airing weekly at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have The Puppet Man, which will be available on Shudder. A convicted killer on death row maintains his innocence. His daughter suspects there's truth to her father's claim when her loved ones begin to die in brutal ways. Then we have The Conference. This will be available on Netflix. A team-building conference for employees turns into a nightmare when accusations of corruption begin to circulate and plague the work environment. Then we have Dark Harvest. This will be available on VOD. Teens confront a legendary supernatural specter that emerges from the cornfield of a small Midwestern town every fall. I feel like we've been waiting for this one for a while now. So exciting. It's coming out Friday the 13th. Then we have 15 Cameras. This will be available on VOD. I wasn't too sure if this was actually going to happen. I remember seeing some images of this, but there was no, like, release date. But it's coming out on Friday. So a couple buys a house from the slumlord Tapes, infamous for hidden cameras and a psycho landlord. It's not safe, as they tell themselves. Are you a fan of this franchise, John? Have you checked it out?
15 cameras? I think,
What was the other one? 13 cameras?
Yeah, I've heard of 13 cameras. I haven't seen 13 cameras, though. It pops up a lot on my feed.
Yeah, it will make you feel very, very dirty. Then we have The Herd. This will be available on VOD. When a woman trying to outrun her past ends up trapped between a zombie outbreak and a group, she must fight to find her way back home. Then Dear David will be available on VOD. A man is haunted by the ghost of a boy named David who's trying to kill him. Then we also have In the Fire on VOD. A doctor travels to a remote plantation to care for a disturbed boy who has abilities. Yeah. Okay. Then we also have on the 17th, as we have four things coming out on the 17th, excuse me. So Shaky Shivers. So if you missed it in theaters, it was only in theaters for one day last month. This one has like such a magical tagline, A Night of Werewolves, Zombies, and Ice Cream. Two young women finds themselves at an abandoned camp in the woods with a book of magical spells surrounded by classic monsters. Then we also have The Dive. This will be available on DVD, Blu-ray, so just in case if you do want to own it. Two sisters go diving at a beautiful remote location. One of the sisters is struck by a rock, leaving her trapped 28 meters below with dangerously low levels of oxygen and cold temperatures. It is up to the other sister to fight for her life. Also, Haunted Mansion. It just came out like on VOD last week, so now it is available on Blu-ray and DVD as well. And then we have Three Blind Mice. This will be available on VOD and DVD. Abby is going cold turkey. Her family have taken her to a cabin in the woods, so she's away from the city. However, little do they know, the Three Blind Mice is more than just a fairy tale, and they may be up next on the menu. And then just in case if you missed it, VHS 85 is available on Shudder. The Exorcist Believer is in theaters, as well as Saw X. And also, there's a series, I'm not too sure when, it's been out for a while now. It is called The Bargain. It is available on Paramount Plus. This one involves organs for sale.
I'm always looking for a good deal when it comes to organs for sale. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my daily horror narration podcast, Creepy, as we celebrate yet another 31 days of horror. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.